Speaking of things trippy, we have Greg Bork in the studio right now. You've taken on the not insubstantial task of being the festival administrator for Aquarius 50. What is going on? I mean, really, this is something a lot of people are holding their breath for, I think, in the region. It's happening in May, between the 12th and 21st of May.
Yes, we're still in the stage of preparing for it and figuring out exactly how we're going to make it all happen. But yes, those are the dates, and we've got a team together, and we're looking at how to get this program happening. And we've got a town hall meeting happening next week on Wednesday.
Yes, I noticed that. Is that open to everybody? Can people just come along and put their hands up for certain tasks?
Yeah, it's all about how to get involved, mm-hmm. because the program has been created with the community over a few meetings last year in the town hall, where people put in their ideas for what they'd like to have happen at the festival. And we've had a bit of time to think about that and to put it all together. And this is us bringing it back to the community, which is a bit, you know, daunting. And to really just have it all there for people to contemplate, and also to think about how they might like to collaborate, contribute, get involved.
Okay, so what sort of milestones are there already? Have you got any kind of centerpieces for the program?
We have 10 themed days at the moment, and also there's a few venues around town that where certain conversations seem to be gravitating toward, where there might be themed spaces as well, like a 10-day alternative building workshop at Sibley Street at the Sustainability Centre in Nimbin. And
because unlike festivals like Woodstock or whatever, you know, the Aquarius Festival was very much about a cultural blossoming, really, wasn't it?
It was, and it had a different ethos to Woodstock, where Woodstock was a big music festival where you kind of paid your ticket and you did kind of, you know, see a big rock band.
Mm.
But Nimbin was about, you are the festival, and a lot of people arrived well in advance of the festival and set up their camp and created a place where they would, you know, have something to offer. And even though there were acts that were brought in for the festival, and the organisers had grants from the government where they went around and the country and also over to New Zealand and brought in international acts also from India and South Africa, that the program was pretty loose. And times have changed, and we don't have that lead time, because we've had, you know, bushfires and COVID and floods, and we're just really now scrambling to get this together in a way. The structure of the program is a little more panel oriented and towards how we have the conversations about the legacy of what's happened since the original Aquarius Festival, because it was such a kind of a paradigm shift, and also, you know, this critical mass of hippies parachuting into the Northern Rivers and completely transforming this region.
Mm. So it's like a stock take, or a rather than Woodstock, stock take.
could be, but also the conversations are really about the world today and how it, you know, the conversations are still alive, really, and obviously the community is still thriving, and they have something really, I think, beautiful to share with the world. Yeah.
And what is that at its essence, do you think?
I think that idea that there was something obviously pretty wrong with the world at the time, with the Vietnam War and the Cold War, and the realization that the ecology was in a terrible state, and you know, coming out of the 60s and the 50s, where women were owned by their men, and all of these relational problems between each other and the world. Well, this was the counterculture's alternative vision about how we could all, you know, collectively live together in peace and harmony, and it was a really big attempt to actually make that dream come to fruition with this big coming together that turned into an alternative lifestyle and survival festival that then lived on in the community with, yeah.
So this idea of survival is very prevalent today, isn't it? There's a lot of preppers out there, you know, making sure they're ready for the apocalypse.
Well, yes, and I think that that kind of apocalyptic vision has shifted from mutually assured destruction to the boiling frog of climate change and what's this kind of slow trajectory towards an uncertain future and of
climate
course
breakdown.
Of course, that, you know, maybe the 73 festival was well ahead of its time because there was amazing displays about alternative energy. It was the genesis of the Rainbow Power Company and, you know,
the Nimbin Rainbow Power Company, which is famous all over Australia.
So that's, they're really a big part of, you know, this celebration of Nimbin and all that Nimbin has to offer as well, which is not, you know, it's nice that you introduced it as trippy and all of that, but there is a lot more to Nimbin and it's a really good chance to, you know, as well, create another kind of festival or gathering that is actually going to flow on from Mardi Gras, but with a different, a more expansive vision for what Nimbin is and what Nimbin and the Rainbow Region offers to the country and the, you know, maybe the world.
So will it start with the traditional Mardi Gras, Nimbin Mardi Gras, and as you say, flow on from there? Is that the kind of vision for the celebration?
It's just more of a coincidence, really, that the two kind of bump up against each other in that way. The last Mardi Gras was, I think it was postponed because of everything that was going on. So that happened in September, but they've gone to their regular early May Mardi Gras, and then that wraps up and there's a 2-week lead in to Aquarius. So that's actually going to be really good in terms of a bit of a trial run for what
and systems
and also and also the infrastructure and the way that the town's working, can a lot of that can carry over into the Aquarius Festival, and we're just trying to figure out all of that at the moment. Yes,
I was fascinated to read that back in 1973 there was a train, the Aquarius train, that brought about 500 festival goers from Melbourne via Sydney to Lismore for the festival. I mean, that's amazing. Are you doing anything like that? Are you kind of contacting State Rail or whatever it's called these days?
Well, we've had our train tracks turned into rail trails, so that vision isn't really a possibility anymore.
Can't go to Lismore, but could go to Casino,
I suppose. But yes, no, the lead into all of this has been quite brief, and the scope of what we're doing doesn't have the benefit of the 73 festival, that where they really were organising it for a year, at least a year or two in advance. Johnny Allen and Graham Dunstan, you know, we're trying to organise this now within 5 months, so it's a little little tighter. And as well, you know, they had substantial grants from the Australian Union of Students and from the federal government at the time, actually, from Gough Whitlam. And because of the way the grant cycles work, we've kind of missed out on that this time around, and we're a bit behind the eight ball, and we're trying to work with sponsorship and ticket sales as well. And tickets aren't live yet, but we're hoping to have that within the next few weeks to a month. But at the moment, we're really looking for sponsors and people who, and also obviously with this town hall meeting, we've got two concerns. One is how we fund everything, and the other is the manpower and how we actually get volunteers and people from the community involved and really bringing focus to these events that the community has proposed. It's like, how are we going to actually get the people necessary to make them happen?
We're talking with Greg Borg about the 50th anniversary of the Aquarius Festival. If you have any memories from that time, if you were there in Nimbin in 1973, text us in. 043-734-1119 is our number, 043-734-1119. We'd love to hear from you. We're gonna listen to a little a track now before we come back. It's Brand New Heavies with Dream. I think that's kind of appropriate. It's a dream that you are manifesting. You're on BFM 99.9. Brand New Heavies there with Dream from the best of acid jazz. It's funny, isn't it? It doesn't really sound like acid jazz, but I guess that's what it is. You're with Nelly on Road Trip here on Bay FM, and I'm chatting with Greg Bork, who is doing quite the job collecting stories and organising and administrating the Aquarius 50 Festival. So the celebrations for the Aquarius Festival's 50th anniversary, which is happening this year, 12th to the 21st of May. And there is a website up, isn't there, Greg? It's aquarius50.com.au.
Yep, yes. We just launched this website a few days ago, and I think that we managed to, yes,
do a good job.
Yeah, you know, proofread it pretty well.
Well, I mean, I was really, I jumped onto the website before chatting with you.
Yeah.
And there's a great article in Australian Geographic with a lot of photographs. It's like a photo essay from four different photographers who were there on site. Chris Ma, is Chris Ma is his name, I think.
Yep.
Peter Derrett and Paul White, Harry Watson-Smith as well. There's all sorts of amazing photographs of people like Philippe Petit with his high wire walk above the stage. And this is something that I spoke previously with Johnny Allen about too. I mean, this is the guy who sort of walked between the towers, skyscrapers in New York, across Niagara, this kind of thing, and was there on site in Nimbin.
Yes, and after Nimbin, between the pylons of the Harbour Bridge. So, yeah.
That's it.
And, yes, really hoping to be able to bring Philippe Petit over.
Really?
The discussion is being had.
Amazing.
He's a really amazing advocate for peace as well. So Benny Zabel in particular, who's a very well-known Nimbin artist, is
super... And activist, yeah.
Yes. Super keen to bring Philippe over, but the costs are a little out of reach at the moment, and not sure if that will happen, but the conversation is happening.
Yeah, how exciting is that? So maybe if there's a sponsor out there who would like to see a legend like Philippe Petit here to build that whole momentum and the drumbeat for Aquarius 50, you might like to get in touch with us. Our number is 043-734-1119, or you just jump on the aquarius50.com.au. That's the website. And also you could go along to the community meeting at the Nimbin Town Hall, 6 to 8 p.m. Wednesday, January the 25th, the day before Invasion Day.
Yes, yeah, that should be a good meeting where we kind of tell people about what we're doing. And yes, we are also setting up, hopefully, funding via the Australian Cultural Fund. That's something that sponsors might like to get in touch with us about in advance, and we might be able to actually, you know, crowdfund particular events and Philippe Petit in particular. But for the moment, there are other ways that you can get involved, donate, get the newsletter, email us, all on the website.
Yeah, fantastic. You mentioned earlier that each of the 10 days will be themed.
Mm.
Can you give us an idea of what those themes will be?
Sure. The program starts out with First Nations Day, and within that there'll be... It's probably going to be at the showgrounds, not 100% sure, but there will be a bit of discussion around the legacy and the relationship between the original organisers and the Bundjalung elders at the time, and the smoking ceremony that happened before the festival back then, which is seen as a precedent of a contemporary welcome to country, the first one probably since colonisation in that context.
It's quite quite remarkable that the Aquarius Festival is considered to be the first festival to invite traditional owners, Bundjalung people, to come along and do a version of a welcome to country.
Yes, but it needs to be noted as well that it wasn't necessarily the settlers' idea. They were telling the Australian Union of Students gathering in Melbourne a couple of years before, or maybe one year before, about their plans to hold the festival in Nimbin, and that they had the permission from the townsfolk of Nimbin to hold the festival. And as Graham Dunstan remembers it, at first he thought it was Gary Foley, but now he's pretty sure that it was Dennis Walker. prompted him and heckled him and said, have you asked the elders whether you can hold the festival? And that was the impetus that, that gave Graham Dunstan and Johnny Allen the idea to go and first off ask the elders for permission to hold the festival, then to invite a lot of Aboriginal people from around the country and Indigenous people, different cultures around the world as well. And they had a cultural representative, a South African man called Bal Stone, who did a lot of the negotiating and collaborating between cultures. And he has some amazing stories about that whole process. And there's a within all of this, I'd have to say as well that there's different versions of stories, and it wasn't all smooth sailing. And that if you read into it, that there was a lot of things, challenges that got in the way of that Nimbin Festival. And yeah, but that there was a lot of good things that happened there as well.
I'm talking with Greg Bork here. He's the Aquarius 50 Festival Administrator and also a gatherer of stories because, you know, you did your PhD on a lot of this, didn't you? Or you're doing it now. You're collecting these stories, walking country, yeah, talking with people from Terania Creek protests and Nightcap protests and, gathering all this incredible archive of information. We're also asking you out there, our dear trippers, if you've got any stories. 0437341119 is our number. Someone's texted in, an anonymous person here saying, I'm an original Nimbin hippie, around then rented a house near Kawongalo and never went to the festival and don't care for the whole drug scene that followed it. Well, I guess, you know, that is part of the legacy, but there's another story too, the protests, the environmental movement, really. Mm. It's seen as a key moment in the birth of the environment movement.
Yes, well, I mean, you're talking about these threads, the theme days, and we're trying to go into all of the different legacies. So I mentioned First Nations, then we're looking at spirituality, alternative health, healing a home birth, alternative energy and agriculture, and intentional communities, an amazing legacy of that festival and the Home Builders Association and changing the laws to have multiple occupancies. And yes, politics activism is one of the theme days, and this is the thread that I've followed through my research, is the legacy of Aquarius and the changing relationship of the settler with the land, from, you know, exploiting and the land and extracting, you know, logging the land, and then this changing relationship where then the hippies, as it were, wanted to look after the land and to stop the logging and the blockades that happened at Terania and Nightcap. And I kind of see that as a one of the facets of the Aquarian legacy, yes. And so in October, I held a little kind of amateur exhibition in the foyer of the Nimbin Town Hall, which you came and visited as I was taking it down. Yeah,
It was fantastic. You know, and I met Benny Zabel there, and I'd met him previously at different protests. But it was such a wonderful collection of images from that Terania Creek and Nightcap, the 40th anniversary of the Nightcap protests. And people were coming in, and they were identifying people for you in the photographs, weren't they?
Yeah, it was a very hands-on exhibition of people's snapshots and whatever bits and pieces I could cobble together from Nightcap, because the Nightcap hasn't received the same attention as Terania, even though they're kind of bookend blockades, and the Nightcap is actually what led to the rainforest decision to protect the Nightcap and a number of other rainforests around New South Wales. And yes, so that was a real story collecting place that people brought in their own photos and stories, and they could use a post-it note to tag themselves in the photographs. And then it all culminated with this event in the town hall where there was song, and people came from all around, from Tasmania and Melbourne and down south, and it was just the most beautiful and wonderful community event. And I am looking at the story collecting for Aquarius in the same vein, and I'm very aware of the different archives that collect the stories of the counterculture and alternative lifestyle movement, like the Rainbow Archive at the State Library of New South Wales. But more in this area, there's what's called the Aquarian Archive, which sits in the Ganellabar Library branch of the Richmond Library. And it needs a little TLC. And
does it?
Yes.
What do you mean? It's a bit mouldy.
Well, yes, it's kind of slightly inaccessible, and it's not really catalogued, and and there's a lot of stuff in there, mostly from NEFA, the Northeast Forest Alliance, and there was a real push, you know, probably a decade ago, to start up an archive of local counterculture and activism. And And I know that a lot of people have archives because they've brought them to me, and I'm looking at ways to look after them. I'm having conversations with regional museums and seeing where the state of the archives is at. And so at Aquarius, love you to let me know about your own Super 8 films or photos or stories. People have wonderful diaries that they've written, and, you know, just recently, Dharmananda, an intentional community, published a book of their stories of their life on community. This is one of the communities that started up before Aquarius, actually. There were people moving onto the land and back to the land, as it was called, and starting to live together collectively before Nimbin, which is where the kind of critical mass came across. And it's just the most beautiful book of photographs and stories and reflections, and what a legacy of that community. It's just these intentional communities have wonderful success stories, and sometimes there's a lot of difficulties within that, but it's a great time to reflect and to look at, you know, what we've achieved and what it might offer for the future as well.
So if people have stories, they can get in touch with you via the aquarius50.com.au website.
Yep.
And they can also come along to the community meeting at the Nimbin Town Hall Wednesday, January the 25th, 6 to 8pm. Do they have to register or just rock up?
You can just rock up. I mean, that's definitely more about how we're going to put on this festival. And I think closer to the time, there will be a festival hub where I will bring in these stories, and it'll be more encouraged to kind of... And one of the things that will be there will be a fixed camera where you can sit there and tell your story to the camera. You don't have to be an original 73 Aquarian. There's a real consideration of the children of Aquarius, people who were very young at the time, and also... you know, people who grew up on communities and really love the legacy of what Aquarius means to them. So come and share your stories in that space. And also, you mentioned Peter Derrett. He's going to have an exhibition all of his own. He's printed out his amazing, beautiful black and white photographs to have an exhibition in the town hall. There's an exhibition called Rainbow Dreaming, and you can go and look at rainbowdreaming.org to see this exhibition that was curated by Harsha Prabhu and Graham Batterbury for the 40th anniversary of Aquarius, and that became a travelling exhibition of stories of the legacy of Aquarius. It's an amazing, beautiful exhibition that's going to go back up in Nimbin, and also another version of it probably at Southern Cross Uni Library.
How wonderful. And that's so exciting. You know, yeah. We've got Liz has texted in. Hi, Nellie. I was there in 1973 as a wide-eyed 18-year-old with a bunch of art student friends and a VWB Beetle. Wow.
Fantastic.
Isn't that wonderful? Greg, thanks so much for coming in and just starting that drumbeat for us, because it's so exciting for those of us who, you know, do look to that moment as the birth of a counterculture that we're all kind of a part of still here in the Shire.
Thanks, Neil. Thanks so much for having me.
No worries. That's Greg Bork. Greg is the festival administrator for the Aquarius 50th anniversary, which is happening in May. Put it in your diaries, 12th to the 21st of May. And get along to that meeting if you can on Wednesday the 25th, if you have stories and want to help out. You're with me, Nellie, here on Road Trip, and we are powering into our second hour. Here's Legal Rights by Papa San and Lady G.
My legal rights, you know. Well, Poopa San, me have my one too.
Well, all right, some of the evil. Come, I hear this. Me cry.
Man have a right to, man have a right to, if a door.